You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
For a Tuesday edition of the program, we welcome you in to our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It is great to have you aboard here today at 5 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass once again here today. Got a great show upcoming for you, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk Major League Baseball. The final week of the regular season is upon us. Some big matchups, big series, none bigger than the Mets and the Braves. If they can get them all in with the impending weather going in the southeastern part of the United States. But we will talk baseball with Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer, and Eastern Iowan coming up in just a little bit. And looking ahead to the playoffs and what is going to come up as far as the final week of the regular season is concerned. And we'll do that with Cal coming up in just a little bit. Football news to get to today, and we will cover that. Look back at Monday Night Football, both games from a night ago, and more. 319-366-1600 is your text line. That's 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. Like to pick up the phone and give Isaac a call. That is also 319-366-1600 here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Mark, how are you? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Scott. I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Isaac, and everyone out there. And I notice it's National Punctuation Day, Scott, so let's try to put a exclamation point on this one and not a question mark. How about that?
I'm all for it.
All right.
It's National Something Day every day of the week, isn't it?
Sometimes it's multiple things. Yeah. Yeah.
Isaac, how are you today?
Okay. I'm not sure that's exactly how you're supposed to use punctuation, but that's all right. I'm doing all right. I'm doing good.
Always reminds me of this. Why does everything go back to a Seinfeld episode? You know, Elaine and her boss arguing about the use of exclamation points.
Yeah.
Everything goes back to a Seinfeld episode. But, yeah, we got a great show coming up for you here today. No Kirk Ferentz today with the Hawkeyes off. Matt Campbell getting ready for the Houston Cougars coming up on Saturday night on the road down in Houston, a Houston team that's 1-3. Coordinators were front and center in Iowa City today, and that would be Tim Lester, as well as Phil Parker and LeVar Woods down there. And, it's a different vibe, I think, Mark, when the coordinators meet with the media than with the head coach as usual on a Tuesday. It's, I think, a little bit more lighthearted, if you will, just taking a look at some of the quotes and questions, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, maybe that's just the off week and the bye week playing a part in it. But just not quite the, like I said, more of a relaxed vibe, I think, today.
Well, they all have different personalities. And, of course, Tim Lester was a head coach. I was offensive coordinator. And he's so familiar with the media. And Phil Parker, while I'm not sure that's his favorite thing to do, he's become comfortable. He's a veteran and whatnot. And same for LeVar Woods, a former player and now has been in the program for quite some time. And like I said, they all have different personalities. A lot of the questions are about some of the specific players that they oversee, like Lester talking about Caleb Johnson and LeVar Woods talking about Drew Stevens and talk about T.J. Hall today and whatnot. So it's a different different from what you get with Kirk Ferentz.
You are right. Matt Campbell today over in Ames talking glowingly about 1-3 Houston, calling them a dynamic football team. Remember, they scored zero against the Cincinnati Bearcats last week with dynamite receivers. It's coach speak. We all get it. That's kind of the way all coaches are programmed to speak. I had a lot of things to say about his run offense today in Ames. Complimentary, especially talking about the run with their three tight end sets that Iowa State ran at times on Saturday in that blowout win over Arkansas State. And talked about keeping the team focused as well. And that is one of the things that they are working on this week with, you know, Baylor's next week. Baylor coming off the tough last second tie and then loss in overtime to Colorado. Listen, you can't go 10-0 unless you go 4-0, right, Mark? I mean, that's, you got to take them one at a time. The oldest cliche in the book, but I think Matt Campbell was trying to get that across to everyone in Ames today.
And it's smart to do so. I think any more of these news conferences, and maybe I was spoiled by the unpredictable nature of Hayden Fry each and every week, but it's been so predictable and very little news coming out of him. And we play the sound bites and whatnot. And I know people like to hear from the head coaches and what they have to say, but it very rarely is there any news. It's more philosophical and in nature and, you know, take one game at a time type thing. And we don't have that this week in Iowa, as you mentioned, with the coordinators, but we do with Campbell, and pretty predictable comments from him.
Yeah, they were fairly predictable. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, in this day and age of the internet and the 365, 24/7 news cycle out there, you just don't get the information that you did back 20 to 30 years ago with the coach on the weekly news conference. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just calling it the way it is. That's just the way times have changed.
Yeah, and again, some coaches' personalities are different. Some coaches, you know, are going to give you a great soundbite each and every week, whether it's Deion Sanders or Mike Gundy or whoever it may be. And again, a lot of it has to do with the personalities and how out there they want to be. And that's not Kirk Ferentz by any means.
No, no, it is not. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you out there at 312. We'll talk to Cal Eldred coming up in a little bit. Mark, I pulled out our baseball predictions from late March. Oh, man. Yeah. We'll have a good chuckle over that coming up in a little bit.
As we do every year.
As we do, maybe even more this year. Maybe even more this year. Cyclone Tim, it's a Tuesday. It's a day that ends in Y. I apologize profusely for basically ruining your Cincinnati Reds 2024 season. Very, very sorry about that. It is a day that ends in Y, which means we've got conference realignment news and conferences angry with one another. The latest, it kind of started going down last night, Mark, because we were, okay, maybe sitting back a little bit, talking about the fact that the AAC schools that the Pac-12 was courting, such as Tulane and Memphis, South Florida, they decided to en masse, at least for now, keep that in mind, because anything could change at any given moment, at least for the moment, are going to stay in the AAC. Well, then last night, we got word that the Utah State Aggies out of the Mountain West had been invited and are going to pull up stakes. They are going to be the fifth Mountain West team that is going to leave that conference and head to the new Pac-12 or Pac-10 or Pac-8 or Pac-14, whatever they're going to be calling it. in this new go-round with the Conference of Champions. But, of course, that got everything rolling. Then you've got news coming out that, okay, UNLV, who was slated to stay, is now thinking of going because somebody left the Mountain West. They thought everybody was going to stay put. Now there's talk that Air Force is now looking at going to the Pac-12. If Vegas goes, if Utah State goes, what's the Mountain West going to do? Now you've got the Pac-12 suing the Mountain West today over a poaching penalty fee. They don't want to pay a penalty quite as large as the Mountain West would like. Oh, it's as the world turns with the group of five schools now involved in this, Mark.
Well, Utah State seems odd to me. I never thought a lot of these arrangements, but Utah State and the Pac-12, it's a different arrangement, and eventually it's going to happen. And I'm just waiting for the day Stanford and Cal decide they want to come back. And as I told you in show prep today, maybe I'm underestimating our listeners, but unless it involves the Big Ten, Big 12, or Missouri Valley Football Conference, this is a blip on the radar for a lot of folks out there, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me.
Well, I think it is going to involve the Missouri Valley as soon as, if the Mountain West does leave, have teams leave, I think you're going to see the Mountain West go after the Dakotas. I really think they're going to go after North Dakota State and South Dakota State really hard. And it's going to be very interesting to see if the Bison and the Jackrabbits are going to stay 1AA or if they are going to make the jump like James Madison did and maybe score 70 points on some D1 teams and try to make bowls. Would you rather win 1AA national championships or a mid-December bowl now? I guess that's a question. Well, that's not the question. Money is the question, Mark. We all know that.
Well, you said it yourself yesterday. There aren't many television sets or big markets in the Dakotas. So, you know, whether that plays into anything, I don't know. That may be a story of a week or two, a month or two, but it's not one for now.
Greg in Epworth, yes, we apologize to your Milwaukee Brewers for not picking the Milwaukee Brewers. Nobody in our panel, Cal, myself, or Mark, picked the Milwaukee Brewers, and I apologize profusely to you. Brewers showed us, right, Mark?
I'm not going to apologize. I didn't think the Brewers were going to be all that this year, and I was totally wrong. I'm not going to apologize for my pick, but I'll admit when I'm wrong.
319-366-1600. Speaking of money, Mark, have you lawyered up yet? Are you looking into getting NIL money from your golf playing days back at good old Co College? Because I think you're on to something now, because apparently every former athlete is now lawyering up and looking into recouping possible NIL from the days that he or she were involved in NCAA athletics. The latest big one is Reggie Bush, the former Heisman Trophy winner for the USC Trojans, lost his Heisman Trophy, got it back, was reinstated, and now he has brought a lawsuit to recoup NIL, name, image, and likeness from the time that he was at Southern Cal.
Well, this is another area, and this one really really gets under my skin. First of all, Co College lost a lot more money with me on the golf team than it ever did reaping any benefits. Let's just get that out there, okay? But not only we have Bush here, well, we have the House versus the NCAA, and we're waiting for the final resolution on that. And that would benefit athletes back to 2016. Bush played way before that. The North Carolina State basketball team, that famous team with Jim Valvano at the as the head coach, Lorenzo Charles, Wittenberg, and all those guys, they filed suit against the NCAA for NIL as well. How far do you go back? Are we going to find out Mark Ironsides is going to sue Iowa and the NCAA for NIL money? And I'm only half kidding. Chuck Long, Ronnie Harmon. I mean, back to into the 80s. Where does it end? And I don't think this is what everyone intended when NIL was first, thought about and approved by the NCAA. And by the way, it's not just colleges; it's high schools. And Iowa has, Iowa allows NIL. By the way, but I don't think this is. It's gone so far beyond what it was intended in my mind. Originally, I think it was Jordan Bohannon and a few others. They wanted some compensation for their name, image, and likeness to partnership with a car dealership for appearances or autograph signing sessions somewhere or a grocery store, what have you. And now it's just totally out of control.
This is going to be a great 30 for 30 in about, 10 to 15 years down the road from ESPN is going to be the NIL story. Maybe a little bit sooner than that. I don't know. 319-366-1600. Matt in Fairfax asking, how could any of these former athletes calculate what they're owed? It was 20 years ago. For Bush, 40 years ago, 41 years ago for the NC State men's basketball team. How do you calculate that? And who's going to be the one paying for this? Is it going to be the individual schools? Is it going to be another lawsuit against the NCAA? Who knows? 8310, didn't Reggie Bush get NIL money? It was just under the table and illegal at the time. Yeah,
it was permissible benefits. That's why he had his Heisman Trophy stripped since returned, but that was the basis of that.
So he's getting his cake and eating it too, perhaps. It's like the LIV and the PGA Tour players here, except on a different scale and a much grand, well.
I guarantee you a lawyer's going to calculate what Iowa football brought in 1985 when it went to the Rose Bowl. And darn near had an undefeated season. They're going to calculate how much Iowa made in football revenue that year and say, hey, Chuck Long, Ronnie Harmon, Bill Happel, they all deserve a little piece of the pie now, don't you say? Huh?
Well, and you said it earlier today, the 1983. How many times have we seen in promos, in just everywhere on television when it comes to March Madness, the 1983 NC State men's basketball team, the finish down at the Pit when they knocked off the Houston Cougars and Akeem Olajuwon. I mean, how many times can you put a monetary amount on how many time, each time that is shown? I guess you could if you think about it and if you calculate it out. But again, is that an NCAA thing? Is that a television thing? Is that both? Who's going to be paying for this in the end if those players do win? 319-366-1600. We got a lot of good things coming in here. PK says Harmon already made enough off that game. Oh wait, never mind.
You're talking about the Rose Bowl game, and yeah, he and Michael Franzese and Norby Walters had a nice deal since proven, getting money, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to throw the Rose Bowl. That's Franzese's, contention. And I don't know if Harmon's admitted it or not. I doubt it, but that's not NIL. That was more of a gambling thing. And those guys trying to make money off a player, and he wasn't the only one at the time.
Yeah, and that's even worse. Does Drew Tate get his car back after he won after hitting the hole-in-one? Asked 22-11. Well, perhaps. Perhaps. There are other instances as far as on the golf course winnings are concerned. One college player turned pro. He had a $1 million hole-in-one. He turned pro when he made the hole-in-one. Remember that from several years back. Coming up on 325 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class as we talk about the latest as far as NIL is concerned. And yeah, I don't know, where is this going to take us and where is it going to ever end? Think about it, Isaac. These are things that happened 25 years before you were born.
I will say, if there's one player who kind of has a right to be super upset at the NCAA, it's Reggie Bush. Because, I mean, like, he was treated real bad after the Heisman stuff. And yes, he broke a rule, but they really came down on him super hard. And that's why he has the Heisman back again. So if there is a player who you can kind of understand why he would sue, maybe just out of spite, I think Reggie Bush has a pretty good case for that.
Reggie Bush did okay for himself.
Yeah, but I'm more being like the narrative that was around him, as far as like,
right,
his personality. Like, it brought up like personal concerns, and it affected his NFL career in the long run because people thought he had these character issues that maybe didn't exist because he broke an NCAA rule then that is now just fine. It was just it came along with a lot of extra stuff that didn't need to come along with it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, but and another text, Gene and Benton saying Harmon got paid. Yeah, he did in another way. And I don't think, knowing Chuck Long like I do, I don't think Chuck thinks he deserves a penny. But some of these other guys are and gals are going to think they are.
True.
Again, I half-heartedly mentioned Ironside. He brought a lot of attention to Iowa wrestling. I don't know if wrestling had net revenue, positive revenue back then, but, and there are many others, Barry Davis and Bannix and on and on and on.
Yeah, and I mean, you could go back to perhaps, say, a Megan Gustafson as well. I mean, she was ahead of the NIL curve.
Right.
Megan Gustafson, and say what you will about Caitlin Clark, and I'm not taking anything away from Caitlin Clark and all the eyeballs that she brought to women's basketball and the Iowa basketball program on the women's side, but Megan Gustafson got the ball rolling with what she did. Not hitting the threes, not getting as much attention, but does she come back and say, hey, where's my NIL money? I don't think she would, just knowing her personality out there. 1626 wants pain and suffering for being an Iowa State football fan in the 80s and the 90s. I don't think we've gotten quite to that point yet, 1626, but if it does, it's a big boat. Not only Iowa State fans, but talk to the Kansas State people and others going through that particular era of football. I think Reggie is forgetting the McDonald's bags he got back in college.
The last thing I'll say about this, at least for today, is that the reason we're in this situation, the reason there's so many lawsuits, is that there is no regulation. Congress has congressmen have introduced multiple bills to try to regulate it. I don't know if I want my government to be involved in NIL agreements and college and high school athletes, but there's no regulation. Therefore, it's going to get out of control.
And it has. And all the NCAA had to do was at the get-go just get this thing under control. Didn't do it. And now the horse is out of the barn, man.
Yeah, I mean, they just had to be a little bit more proactive. And it's just so, I don't know. It doesn't have to be. It didn't have to be so crazy right now.
It didn't. It did not have to be. Were they going to take care of all the loose ends? No. But they could have gotten
some basics down. All they needed to do when they saw this coming, and didn't do it. Didn't do it. And now the NCAA very soon is not going to have the Power Four conferences under their thumb. It's just not going to happen. All right, 319-366-1600. We will talk some baseball. Cal Eldred set to join us coming up in a little bit. Before 4 o'clock, we'll talk about the great exploits of Jaden Daniels last night as well. What a performance. One of the best all-time for a rookie quarterback for the Washington Commanders last night as they upended the Cincinnati Bengals, sending Cincinnati to an 0-3 mark. But speaking of Mark, let's get it to Mark Dukes for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. They're a classic local American restaurant, open at 4. What do we got?
One afternoon game in Major League Baseball, a game of consequence. The Detroit Tigers remain white hot. The Tigers defeated Tampa Bay 2-1 behind the pitching of Tarik Skubal, who won his 18th game of the season. Also in baseball, Charlie Blackman, who played all 14 seasons with the Colorado Rockies, probably a member or a candidate for the Hall of Very Good, has announced his retirement. He was the 2017 National League batting champion. In college football, Caleb Johnson and Reese Dakin have earned national awards for the Iowa football program. Johnson named the Doak Walker Running Back of the Week nationally, and Dakin the Ray Guy Punter of the Week. And finally, while testifying before a congressional committee today in Washington, D.C., quarterback Brett Favre announced that he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
That's too bad. Really too bad. Wish the best for him going forward, certainly. 3:31, we'll take a break, and we will talk Major League Baseball. Cal Eldred will join us when we return after this here in the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we'll have a mix of sun and clouds for the remainder of the day. There may be a few sprinkles here and there. Otherwise, it's going to be a comfortable fall day with temperatures in the low 70s and low humidity. Then tonight, the clouds will clear and temperatures drop down into the mid to upper 40s. We'll have a crisp start tomorrow, and then temperatures take off into the mid 70s under sunny skies. The sunshine sticks around for Thursday. Temperatures get a little warmer into the upper 70s, and then clouds build in for Friday and the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Before you buy generic Viagra, try this hack to get 9 tablets for just $7. Prescription and shipping are free. All you need to do is go to FridayPlansRx.com and answer a few medical questions. A doctor reviews your answers and prescribes you online for free, if appropriate, 9 tablets of generic Viagra for just $7. Go to FridayPlansRx.com. Yes, that's right, 9 tablets for $7. FridayPlansRx.com. Restrictions apply. Paid for by FridayPlansRx.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity?
Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim at kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
Back with you at 3:34 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Spencer on sports will follow us. That will be from 4 until 6. Cyclone Coaches Show tonight from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. And next week, Major League Baseball playoffs get underway. And we will, once we know the schedule, we'll have as many of the playoff games as we can squeeze into our schedule around local programming, around Iowa State, around football, et cetera, et cetera. So we will do our best to get as many of those games coming your way on our airwaves here in Eastern Iowa. And, to talk about it and to join us, the best part about the fall is the fact that we get to talk to Cal on a weekly basis. That is the best part. And the former Major Leaguer Cal Eldred joining us here on a Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. That is the best part, right, Cal?
Well, there's a lot of things I love about the fall. The best part, other than talking to me, is the fact the weather gets a little cooler. You get to watch everybody harvest. You get to watch the leaves fall. Hunting season starts. But you've got to go through the postseason in baseball before any of that really means that much.
We got the good, the bad, and the ugly to talk about. The ugly being a lot of our picks from back in March, which I have in my hand right here. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Detroit, another win today. So they, as of the moment, are the number 5 seed in the American League. They are red hot with the young pitcher that went today, and they've got the White Sox in the last 3 games. So, I mean, you can almost pencil in Detroit right now, can't you?
It's pretty darn close, Scott. And they, you know, guys, remember, they have really, truly came out of nowhere. They've had a little help from 2 teams, and Mark and I do not want to talk about who those 2 teams are. It's tough, but it's the truth. But Detroit has taken care of business. I have on my notes that Detroit actually has pretty much their own destiny in front of them, and they truly do now with the win of Scooble going today, like you said, Scott. But, man, you've got to give them a lot of credit. They have used some of their young pitching. They've changed and played much, much better defense here in the second half, especially the last couple months. And they are where they are because of what they've been doing.
Yeah, you have to give the Tigers credit. They were 8 or 9 games behind the Twins at an early August juncture. But what about the Twins and Royals? I do know the Twins, if there's any redeeming quality or aspect of the Twins this last week, they hold tiebreakers over both the Tigers and Royals. But the way that team has been playing, in Kansas City is on a 7-game losing streak. It's kind of survival mode right now, isn't it?
There's no doubt. You look at that and you think, oh man, what went wrong? You know, what went wrong? And it was interesting because, you know, Mark, when you listen to the broadcasts, and so I tried to listen to the TV broadcast and the radio broadcast for both of those clubs, and you hear the struggle in their voice, and you hear, man, we just need, tomorrow could be a new day, and all the cliches, but they come back out, and both of those clubs are struggling to score runs. Now, the Royals haven't had a whole lot of problems scoring runs throughout the year, but the Royals' bullpen is also struggling. The Twins' bullpen has done an amazing job, actually, recently, and they finally faltered in a game in Boston, but in the final game in Boston. But you got, you know, that it's tough. So this momentum, you do not want, if you're the Twins and the Royals, you make the playoffs, you want to make the playoffs really bad. But this is not the way you want to get into the playoffs. You want to do what Detroit's doing, very similar to what Arizona did last year and just being hot when you're headed into the playoffs.
Both the Twins and the Royals, the Twins are at home to take on Miami. They got to take care of business. Kansas City is in the nation's capital to take on Washington. Those teams are playing out the string, as we know. So there's still hope there, but then you got the Seattle Mariners are suddenly back into this thing. They got the win last night over Houston. Not going to catch, more than likely, the Astros, unless something really strange happens for the West, but they are solidly in there as far as the wild card is concerned.
But you get and give Seattle credit. Seattle, I know they feel like they've really shot themselves in the foot because they were playing pretty well. Then they did not play well at all, causing Scott Service to lose his job. And Dan Wilson, another friend of mine, both of those guys are friends of mine, both Dan and Scott. Dan Wilson takes over. And Seattle still lost some games that they should have won in the last 3 weeks, but they've hung in there. They've got two more games at Houston, which are really, really important games for them. And then they go home and they play Oakland. That's a big deal. They get to go home. Kansas City does not get to go home. They go play it. They're going to play a team in Atlanta who's struggling and trying to pull out all the stops to make the playoffs, make a wild card spot in the National League. And, you know, the Twins will continue to get to play at home. And that's really important at this time of the year.
National League right now, the Mets are in. San Diego firmly in, I think. But then you have another couple teams. It's a three-way race in the National League as well between the Mets, Arizona, and Atlanta. Atlanta trying to catch both. So what do you make of that?
Well, you know, the thing is you got a big series going on in L.A. right now. San Diego's in Los Angeles. I think that's going to be a big deal because as you look at the standings and you see that the Dodgers are only three games ahead of San Diego. Look, I never thought the Royals would lose seven straight games, and I never thought Minnesota would struggle this bad to score runs. So you just don't know. And if you throw that in there, now you've got a really different look at how important that is to win the division for whether it's San Diego or Los Angeles. That could happen. So it's San Diego has a lot in front of them. They've got to go to Los Angeles and play the three games. Then they have to go to Arizona and play three there. So the cards are stacked against them to win the division. But I think, like you said, Mark, they're in. I look at the way the Diamondbacks are playing. They're probably going to be in. I don't know. I don't know what to make of Atlanta. They've had the pitching, but offensively they've struggled too. So it's going to be fun coming down. At least you have. I'm not a big fan of AL Central team playing a National League East team at the end of the year, but at least Atlanta and Kansas City are wild card possibilities.
Yeah, you're right. And Atlanta and the Mets, a lot of people are calling this the biggest series of the year going into it. Now you got a hurricane that could play a part in this thing. So you throw that into there. Two games back for Atlanta starting off the series. They got to win tonight, don't you think? I mean, they can't fall three behind.
No, they can't do that because you're going to have a team coming in the Mets that look, the Mets are hungry. They've been playing good. They've had some luck on their side. They've won some games late. They've had a few taken away from them, but they've won some games late. They have more momentum than Atlanta does. So to your point, Scott, they need to win minimum two out of three of these games. And because if they do that, if they can do that and get it, pinch it down and make it close, the Mets still have to go to Milwaukee and play three games at Milwaukee. And they've been playing really well, and they're a good club. So you just never know what can happen. But Atlanta has some big games coming up, as do the Mets.
Cal, the Athletics are going to close up shop in Oakland. They started the last homestand after about six decades in Oakland, and I wanted to ask you about your experiences out there. I did a little research, and I know you want to forget the 97 game when K Canseco and McGuire both took you deep, but you had mixed success out there. You pitched there in April. You pitched there in October, Oakland Coliseum, that is. What are your thoughts about Oakland, your recollections?
Canseco and McGuire took a lot of guys deep, Cal, so yeah. don't worry about it.
I actually remember a game that was one of the first games that I pitched coming back after having Tommy John surgery was against Oakland. And I remember going over a scouting report, and pitching coach was like, yeah, and the catcher's like, yeah, well, you can get McGuire away now. You can get him away. And I had always pitched him in and had decent success against him and a lot of breaking balls in the dirt. And so I threw a fastball away, and he just about parted my hair and hit it off the wall. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that again. Those two guys were fun to face. And it's kind of like two different clubs, Mark, because over the years that I faced in Oakland, because you have the Tony La Russa, Ricky Henderson, Canseco, McGuire, Henderson, you know, all these guys that were there, Carney Lansford, that were there when I was a young player. They were an extremely tough team. Then they kind of changed things, and the Moneyball issue came in, and they were a lot different team, more of a get-on-base team. When Bob Melvin was there and some other guys, but it was not the greatest place to play. It wasn't my favorite place to play by far, but when you went there and you're playing teams that were as good as the team I played initially, it was a lot of fun. And even when they didn't spend a lot of money on that club, they were always a tough team to play, especially in Oakland.
Yeah. Cal Eldred joining us here at 3:46 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. So we talked about the good a little bit. We must talk about the bad. Sox have a chance to set, for good or for bad, the record tonight. It's going to happen. I don't foresee a long last week winning streak in this thing. They've already come out and said we're not going to go into free agency this year. It's still a dumpster fire on the south side, but the White Sox, I think the players at least have accepted it, come to terms with it. The people around the White Sox are kind of having, I don't want to say fun with it, but if you can't laugh at this, I don't know what you can laugh at, and you kind of have to laugh at it, because if you don't, I think you're just going to go in the corner and cry for about 3 months. So maybe it'd be good just to get this thing over with tonight.
Well, it's so tough going to the ballpark when you know that you're out of the playoff race. And then it gets harder when you start looking up and you're going, oh, man, we could lose 100 games. And unfortunately, I know both of those feelings, and they're not good. But what I have seen from the White Sox players, for the most part, is they've been playing hard. They've got some young starting pitching and some pitchers out of the bullpen, some players that are getting opportunities to play, and they're trying to make the most of it. And so if you just watch their scores, and Scott, I know you do this, but White Sox fans out there, you watch their scores, it seems like they're always close around the fifth or sixth inning,
yep.
And then something, and you have this big inning that happens, and they just can't stop the bleeding. And that's the sign of a young team and experienced team. I don't blame them for not wanting to go into free agency this next year. They've got a lot of things to do to rebuild and get themselves back into a competitive mode, because right now they're a lot different team than what they thought they had at the beginning of spring training. And it is just tough. I can't imagine. I can imagine, but it's not easy, especially when you think you're going to set that record.
Cal, there's going to be some managerial openings. Cincinnati has parted ways with David Bell, and there's going to be at least a couple others, probably more. Your friend Skip Schumacher may not last in Miami, but I have a feeling that he would land somewhere else pretty easily. Are there managerial candidates that come to mind for you?
Well, I think you look at some of the guys who are former managers. And I know that Terry Francona's name was mentioned in Cincinnati. I don't know if I see Terry coming back and managing. He had a really good situation in Cleveland. I think there's going to be some other probably younger bench coaches. Charlie Montoyo is a guy who was with the White Sox as the bench coach, had managed in Toronto before that. I'm not counting out the fact that Pedro Grifol gets another shot someplace, because the situation he got into in Chicago was just really, really tough. Scott Service, to me, obviously had a lot of success in Seattle, so I think his name could pop up again. There's no doubt in my mind that if Skip is not back in Miami, that he's going to have one of these other jobs, a job that's, if not the one of these that are open now, one that will be coming open soon in the offseason.
Marmol is he going to be all right in St. Louis?
I know he has another year on his contract, and the tricky thing there is the fact that John Mozeliak, the president of the club, who also basically does the general manager's role, even though Michael Gersh is technically the general manager, but John Mozeliak has a lot to do with who's on that roster. He has said that next year is his last year, so in that role. And so I'm kind of thinking, does he want to be the guy that names that new manager, or is he saying, no, we're going to stick with Ollie, and we're going to add to this club, and we're going to try to win the Central Division next year in the National League? Those are the things that are the question marks that the Cardinal fans are going to be wanting answered.
Well, Ralph in Riverside on the text line reminds us he picked the Tigers back in April. Scott, why don't you give us the good and bad of our picks?
Well, we all picked the Minnesota Twins to win.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they could be a playoff team still, but we had them winning the division, not the Cleveland Guardians. No one got the NL Central right. You guys picked the Cubs. I picked Cyclone Tim's Cincinnati Reds. Nobody picked Greg and Epworth's Milwaukee Brewers, and they ran away with the thing. We all picked the Braves, so we were wrong with that in that respect. We all had the Dodgers. That's good. Mark, you did pick the Houston Astros, but Cal and I had the great foresight to pick the Texas Rangers to repeat. That didn't work out too well, and we all had Baltimore in the American League East. None of us had the New York Yankees, so a mixed bag in there, if you will, for sure. My World Series pick of Atlanta over Baltimore is not looking real good at the moment.
I will have to say, Scott, that Mark and I did pick the Cubs to finish first. So if they finish second, that's kind of like first.
I'm good with even that. I'm good with that.
I get it. It's that's tough because as the year, that's why it's so tough to pick these teams to win divisions, to make the playoffs, because rosters can change tremendously in a 162-game season. But, boy, when the base stays healthy, then you see what Philadelphia does, teams like that.
True. Who's going to make it? Who are we going to be talking about next week? Actually, who are the teams that are going to be out in the American League and the National League in your mind, Cal?
Oof. I hate to say this, but I just don't see it's going to be one of the teams. Kansas City or Minnesota is going to be out. And no matter which team that is, they're going to be extremely disappointed. And at this point in time, I still have some hope for the Minnesota Twins, but partly because of who they're playing. But Kansas City, they're also got a chance to play the limping Atlanta Braves. So I guess I'm going to say that, to me, the Twins will be out, and that's going to be tough, and I know that's going to hurt. But both the Twins and the Royals could be out with Seattle coming in, and I could definitely see that happening too. I know I'm dancing around, but that's where I'm at. I think in the National League, I think the Mets will find their way in, and I mean I know they're technically they're in right now. But the Diamondbacks, I think Atlanta's going to find themselves on the outside looking in.
All right. We'll talk about the playoffs next week, Cal. Looking forward to that on Tuesday, and enjoy the final week of the regular season.
You bet. Watching as much as we can and enjoying the weather, fellas.
There you go. Cal Elder joins us on Tuesdays. It'll be each week through the baseball playoffs right here on KGYM. Back to wrap it up after this.
How would you like to get free internet for the rest of the year? You heard that right. Switch to IMON by September 29th, and your first 3 months of internet service will be completely free. That means you'll have no service payments until 2025. Don't wait. This offer ends on September 29th. Visit go.imon.net/radio or call 319-200-6355 to get free internet for the rest of the year.
New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
We're getting crushed out here. What's going on with you, Nick? You used to be the unstoppable king of flag football.
I'm feeling my age. At 40, I feel like I can't keep up anymore.
Is it lower testosterone?
Lower T?
Yeah. When you turn 40, you have less testosterone. It's harder to stay lean and get the same results you used to get. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I know Nugenix. It really gives you an edge.
No question. At work, the gym, the bedroom, Nugenix turned back the clocks. Now I've got the same energy that I did in my 20s.
I want to try Nugenix.
All right, time out. Guys, go text Nugenix and get yourselves a complimentary bottle to try.
Text AREA to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text AREA to 42424. That's AREA to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Back with you to wrap things up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk with Kevin Payne of RotoWire.com, answering your fantasy football questions, courtesy of IMON Communications. By the way, we have got 13 contestants still alive, although Spencer is one of them. Congratulations to you, by the way. Still in it, going into week number four next week. Jaden Daniels, Mark, what a performance last night by the Washington Commanders rookie.
He was terrific, and already the talk, maybe the Bears made a mistake. We'll see about that in the long run, but no question about it. He had one of the great performances for a rookie, and, you know, that game was historic. The first time in at least 80 years that there were no turnovers and no penalties on either team. It goes back to when they first started recording these things in 1940.
Yeah. You meant punts, though, right?
Punts. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No punts in punts that game. And turnovers last night. A rarity, certainly, in the National Football League. And, man, the Jacksonville Jaguars looking dismal right now at 0-3. Yeah, I'm with you about Caleb Williams. Let's pump the brakes on if the Bears made the wrong choice. It's three games into it. Caleb's going to be just fine. I think both the Commanders and the Bears are going to be very happy with their quarterback selections. Doesn't help that Justin Fields is also 3-0. Bears fans are also fueling that. Now they love Justin Fields. Where were you the last few years? All right, Mark, have a good night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports comes up next.